As we reflect upon God's word and upon the life of Lillian, I want to ask you some questions. Will you have any regrets at the end of your life concerning the way in which you lived your life? When you meet God, will such regrets start pouring out big time? I believe that Lillian can have no regrets in this matter now that she has entered heaven. It is true, she didn't have a fast-paced, successful career being a picker in the mill. She didn't amass her millions. She had enough to get by. Although she loved music, played the piano and sung so often, she was no rock star. She didn't get married, though having read the memories booklet, she was nearly set up with Les there, but she was poorer for it and was richer for it, but she didn't get married. She had no children and no ongoing family line. She will have no statue erected in memory of her. And there's this, just this small service here in the building of the church that she loved to mark the ending of her life. But that is our Lillian, isn't it? That is our Lillian. And yet we can say, as she has entered into a rest with Christ in heaven, she lived a life with no regrets. How can we say that? We can say that, as we have testified, that she lived a life serving Jesus Christ. And this afternoon we can remember her in the same manner as Paul remembered the church at Thessalonica 2,000 years ago. He was writing to this church, he was far away from them, and he wanted to help them and strengthen them in their faith. And he says that he remembered them as he prayed for them. He states that in verses 2 to 3 of the passage that Oliver read to us. He says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labour of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father." And I want us briefly this afternoon to remember Lillian in those three ways. Her work of faith, her labour of love, and her patience of hope. Her work of faith, her work produced by faith. It is evident that Lillian had faith in God. She had a full confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ as her Saviour. That faith indeed was a gift from God, and it was this faith that produced work. And in fact, that work also demonstrated the reality of her faith. James writes in his letter in the second chapter, verse 17, that faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But that wasn't Lillian. She had faith which produced works. A faith which inspired her to work for God. Morris has already said she would always do her best for God because only the best would do for him. Whether it was teaching the children, whether it was playing the piano or serving there in the kitchen, giving a cuppa to folk, she would always roll up her sleeves and do her best. And this work ethic that had been instilled in her and resulted from her faith meant at times she became frustrated concerning those who stood idly by. Morris has shared one of those summer seat sayings. I couldn't remember it. All I could remember was that she was in effect saying, "Why aren't people committed these days? Why do they just stand idly by and do nothing?" She was frustrated. She was forthright. But actually, she was right, wasn't she? Where was the work produced by faith in God? But this didn't mean that she sat proudly resting on her laurels, looking down on others and saying, tut, tut, tut. No, as Oliver has said, she humbly responded to the word of God. She kept on reminding me of this, but I think it was a couple of years ago. She was challenged concerning her prayer life through the fellow elder Jeff, his ministry. Forget exactly what Jeff said, but she'd been a bit more lax in her prayer life. And it really touched her. And she said, no, I must. I must have my list. I must go through my list. I must pray. That list of people she prayed for, day after day after day. And she kept on reminding me of it and kept on really being accountable. I must do this. I must keep on praying. She responded to the word of God. She committed herself afresh to that wonderful and essential work of prayer. And she never eased up on that work. She kept on praying. So as we remember her work of faith, her legacy leaves us with searching questions. Do you share the same faith in Christ? And then, to what extent does your faith work? It's a challenge to us to have that work that comes from faith. But secondly, we see her labour of love. Lillian knew the love of God in Jesus. She always wondered at the cross of Christ and the love that he showed to her and all his people there. And it's that love that caused her to love God and to love others. As the Apostle John writes, we love him, we love God, because he first loved us. And Lillian expressed her love for God in many ways. Yes, we've heard, especially playing the piano and singing. Singing was in her blood. Singing to God was her delight. But in this book of memories that we have before us, it's clear that so many were touched by her love. Whether it was through prayer for interest, whether it's through financial help or the giving of treats or watching Kindergarten Cop time and time again. She showed love, week after week after week. But perhaps in many people's memory, the love that Lillian showed will stick in the mind concerning that simple yet powerful expression of love, the Lillian hug. That genuine, all-enveloping hug of love. A hug which you could not or dare not refuse. I tried it. Never again. But it was an expression of her love, wasn't it? Her big heart. And it was that love which strengthened her to labour, to give herself for others with blood, sweat and tears. It was good to see a picture of her mother in the memories booklet. I never met her mother. But to all accounts, the labour of love demonstrated in the care she showed her mum was truly sacrificial. And in this she demonstrated the love of God in Christ. So we remember her labour of love. And this again leaves us with searching questions. Do you know the love of God in Christ? Do you truly love God and love others? Will you follow Lillian in expressing that love in truly sacrificial ways? She was a lady who had that labour of love. But thirdly, we find that she also had that patience of hope. Lillian had hope in God. It's not, that word hope is not a word that as many people would understand it. We would understand hope as having something of great uncertainty in it. I hope to go on holiday at the end of April. There's a lot of uncertainty about that. And that's how we think of hope, isn't it? But that's not the biblical hope. Hope in the Bible is something assured. Something of complete confidence And Lillian had a complete confidence in a golden future in the presence of God. And it was founded upon that word of God that she so loved. For in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, we read, "This hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast." She knew that one day she would be in the place where she is, without sin and free from all suffering and pain. She followed in the footsteps of so many before. A man called Michael Faraday, who heard of him at school, the inventor of the electric motor and the transformer. He was a committed Christian. He made no secret of his Christian faith. And while he lay on his deathbed, he was chided by some who didn't share his faith. "Where are your speculations now, Michael?" thinking about the future and heaven. "Speculations," he retorted, "I'm dealing in certainties." And we can imagine Lillian saying that in a forthright manner. "I'm dealing in certainties." So the last time I saw Lillian conscious, in a weakened condition, I was able to speak with her and falteringly and stutteringly try to remember our final hymn. I said, "Lillian, what's that hymn? Forever with the Lord." It was one about the moving a tent near a home, and we together, she better in a weakened state than me, got to grips with that hymn. And there, with that full assurance of the hope before us, she sang. Quietly and softly, but she sang, "Forever with the Lord." Amen. So let it be. And so my last visit, yes, she was unconscious by then. I was able to read a number of scriptures, knowing that in that unconsciousness there is some awareness, and sought to assure her again of this beautiful end and the hope that she had in Christ. And it's that hope that produced patience, that patience of calm confidence to endure all the hardships of life, that resilience of spirit to keep on going in the faith, that active endurance through thick and thin, right to the end. Yes, those days of marching homeward towards the end were painful and slow. Yet she got through those days with patience, as her hope was fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, as she turned her eyes upon him. But that again leaves us with questions as we think about the legacy of Lillian. Do you have a certain hope of heaven in Jesus Christ alone? Will you allow nothing to turn your eyes off Jesus and the hope that he gives? Will you endure right to the end? So as we remember the life of our dear friend, relative and auntie Lillian, let us remember that her life was truly lived as one with no regrets, because it's characterized by work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. May God give us all grace to follow in her footsteps for the glory of God. Amen.